curb appeal that lasts. Shop Labor Day Extra Big Deals at Lowe's. For a limited time, get 50% off all Holland pavers. Plus, save $110 on the Ego Power Plus 56-volt, 2.5-amp-hour blower trimmer combo kit. Now just $249. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's. In-store and online. Valid through 9/7. While supplies last. Selection varies by location. Holland pavers offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ever thought about Botox but worried you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural, because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At Caps, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Murder in the Morning from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Karen Reed saga, it's getting, well, would you say more interesting, confusing, definitive, or none of the above?
I want to say definitive, because in the beginning, I really didn't have an idea of what happened. But the more I've listened to the case and listened to people testifying, the more I have an opinion.
Yeah.
And my opinion actually has changed a little bit.
Yeah.
After hearing Dr. Marie Russell these past couple of days. She is a retired emergency room physician and pathologist. And having worked in the veterinary field, I hear what she has to say about the injuries on his arm. And I go, so here's a scenario. I don't know very much about this case other than what the public has heard. But let's just say John O'Keefe was in the house. He started screwing around because he was drunk. Everybody was drunk, it sounds like. Started screwing around. The dog felt protective of the owners, that they were goofing around too much. The dog attacked John. John got pissed at the owners. They told him to get the F out of the house. He wanders out and is drunk and gets hit by a car.
I think they would have ran out there and helped their drunk friend.
But what if they're so drunk? And what if they're mad because he starts spouting off because their damn dog attacked him? Blah, blah, blah.
Well,
they're all mad. And they're just leave.
You also have to have a lot of people in on that story.
Yeah, that's true.
And nobody flipping, nobody saying.
But I want to know how these marks got on his arm.
It's a fucking coyote, is what I'm saying.
Coyotes don't typically attack
unless
they are threatened.
It wasn't an attack wound. It was more like a drag you off to somewhere I can eat you wound. Coyotes drag
during a snowstorm.
Coyotes. It wasn't snowing there at that moment in time. And yeah, they're out there. They need to get food. So this one's there. I'm going to guess it probably started trying to drag him a little bit. Another car drove by. Coyote takes off. That's my guess. I'm not presenting it as a fact, but that's my guess on what it is. Or just another neighborhood dog or something that, you know, thought maybe this is a meal. And I'm not trying to be, you know, weird. It's just, yeah, I don't see any other way.
To me, it just seems like a defensive wound from a dog.
I would think we could also in some way, shape, or form identify that. I don't know. Maybe the body. I don't know. I would think in, you know, like you can identify blood splatter and things of that nature by which way these wounds are on John. You know, I don't know. Direction.
But when you look at the picture of them and the placement of the marks, if they're from canines and incisors of a large dog and possibly a premolar of a dog, they look very well placed. That's my only thought. And my other question is, so if, let's say, theoretically, maybe some attack did happen in the house, why didn't they go in and look at that scene as well?
It's not that uncommon for no one to investigate the actual home itself because it was looked at as this was on the street, basically, in front of the home. It's not that often that, and they initially looked at it as a vehicular homicide, not a murder scene. So there wasn't, I guess, in my estimation, not much of a thought as to do we need to do that. And by the time, if that ever ran through everybody's mind, it was long gone. Although, you know, we do see clearly with these cops, the blue are protecting the blue in several ways. Do I think it equates to that they murdered somebody? No. But I think, you know, some of these missteps, some of these very crude ways of talking and referring to others, they did not want to get out and ended up just shooting themselves in the foot, you know, hypothetically. I don't know. It's a messed up case. I did listen to, again today when I was reviewing for the week, the text messages, and emails and letters and stuff that Karen was sending John about the kids. And I just am like, again, not saying it makes her a murderer or anything like that, but the type of person who should not be in a relationship with anyone with children. Because she just seemed to have...
It sounds like this was...
It was all about the attention to her, and she was jealous of the kids.
Oh, great. That's...
Again, not making her a murderer, does not make her a murderer, but she clearly kept trying to manipulate John about the kids and how the four of them together are not a good thing, but she still wants, but she wants more time with him and basically pay more attention to me than the kids is what it comes out to. And it's like, I'm sorry, these kids have been through fucking hell with both their parents dying. Uncle John adopts him, them, and he's all they got. And you're bitching because he's putting the kids before you. Guess what, bitch? That's how it works with any good parent. You do put the kids before any girlfriend or boyfriend. And if you don't fucking understand that, then find a new fucking man.
Yeah, I mean, this sounded like an incredibly dysfunctional relationship.
Yeah.
You know, just the 53 calls that she made to him after being pissed at him.
Incredibly.
That's a bit obsessive and settle the fuck down.
Yeah. It sounds like a very incredibly possessive trying to control and manipulate the situation. Just not a great human being. Again, not making her a murderer. I do not think she on purpose tried to run him over. I do think it's very likely she was enraged, judging by those phone calls, that she was really something happened and she was in some sort of a rage. I don't know what the fuck was said in that car, but judging by some of the things that she'd been writing and talking about, maybe he said, like, look, the kids are always going to come first and it's not going to be you. I don't know. And she was pissed and didn't want to go anymore. And I don't know. I don't know that it was on purpose, though. I don't think it is, but I couldn't be wrong. Anyway.
No, and I don't think it was on purpose. I just think there was a bunch of drunk people that some things got out of control and somebody ended up losing their life over it.
Yeah.
I mean, it can happen at any point when you've got a bunch of people drinking and you throw, you know, these huge vehicles into the mix. Somebody can die.
Yeah, very easily. The defense team in the Karen Reed murder trial began presenting its case on Friday. following the prosecution's conclusion. After calling 68 witnesses, defense attorney Alan Jackson and David Unetti called their first witnesses, snowplow driver Brian Lucky Longran, or Lauren, or I don't know, whose testimony they believe is crucial to challenging the prosecution's timeline and theory. Loran, a Canton Town employee, testified that he was plowing his regular route during a storm on the night of January 29th, 2022, when he passed by 34 Fairview Road, the location where Boston police officer John O'Keefe's body was later found. According to Loran, he drove by the house at 2:45 a.m. and 3:30 a.m., but saw no body on the lawn either time. When you make that first pass by the residence at 2:45 in the morning, sir, with your headlights on, attorney David Unetti asked, what, if anything, did you see on the front lawn in the area of the flagpole? I saw nothing, Loren replied. Let's take a listen to the testimony.
How much light did your headlights illuminate of the Albert's front lawn as you were coming down from Chapman Street?
Coming down Chapman, just about the entire front lawn.
And again, with regard to that area around the flagpole, did you see anything on the lawn?
Nothing.
See a body?
No.
All right.
Prosecutor Adam Lally objected to this line of questioning, and Judge Beverly Cano sustained the objection. Loran later testified he saw a Ford Edge parked near the flagpole on a subsequent pass, a vehicle owned by Brian Albert and then owned 34 Fairview Road. Prosecutor Lally challenged the reliability of Loran's testimony, suggesting that his account has changed over time and questioning his timeline. Despite these objections, the defense maintains that Loran's observations are pivotal in disproving the prosecution's case. I saw nothing, Loran reiterated, emphasizing that he had a very clear view of the lawn and would have noticed a body if it had been there. He also mentioned seeing a car parked in the front house during his later pass, but chose not to report it due to his familiarity with the Albert family. Let's take a listen to that.
As you continued along past the driveway, did you continue to have all of those headlights on in front of you?
Yes.
And as you continued along, what were you able to see of that front lawn? How much of it?
A very large portion, almost to the front steps.
And now, when you're plowing, where is your attention focused, sir?
My attention's focused in front of me and then to the sides.
Why would your attention be focused to the sides?
I am trying to be aware of any side traffic, any pedestrians, and, God forbid, any animals.
And when you were passing the Albert residence, as you pass every home, what attention do you pay to the sides of the road and the lawns that are adjacent to the road?
I'm, again, making sure that there are no animals, no pedestrians, and making sure no one's coming out of their driveways, not expecting to see me.
And with regard to Exhibit 66, do you see the flagpole there?
Yes.
Is that something you had seen previously?
Yes.
And when you made that first pass by that residence at 2:45 in the morning, sir, with your headlights on, what, if anything, did you see on the front lawn in the area of the flagpole?
I saw nothing.
If there had been a 6'2", 200-pound man lying in the snow there, would you have seen it?
Objection.
Sustained.
What policies does the DPW have regarding cars parked in the street during a blizzard where there's plowing to be done?
We are to notify the supervisor. At that point, he will make a phone call to the police, and depending on if they can have the resident move it, it gets moved. If not, it gets towed.
And with regard to that policy, did you comply with that policy in those early morning hours?
No, I did not.
Why?
Because I was being courteous to the Albert family.
Now, once you saw the Ford Edge parked on the side of the road near that flagpole, what did you do?
I had to go around the vehicle and as to not hit the vehicle.
All right. And probably obvious, but as you're approaching the vehicle, was it faced in the same direction that you were traveling?
Yes.
And so you're going around to the left or the right of the vehicle?
Left.
And once, as you were approaching that vehicle, were you able to see on the right side of that vehicle, the lawn sign?
Yes.
Did you see anything on the front lawn at that time?
Objection.
I'll allow it. Did you see anything?
No.
Lights were still on?
Correct.
All right. Now, once you pass the vehicle, did anything attract your attention at all?
No.
All right.
Interesting testimony. How do you think it played to the jury?
I don't know if you've ever known any snowplow drivers, but to me, I've known a couple of them. And I even had a traumatic incident with one. When I worked at the vet clinic, got a call just before Thanksgiving from a snowplow driver. Absolutely hysterical. He had just hit a dog and he was bringing the dog to our clinic. And it was probably one of the most catastrophic hit by vehicle incidents I had ever seen. I will not forget it. And he was hysterical when he brought the dog because he made it very clear, you know, we are always looking around, looking for things because this is a very big vehicle.
Yeah.
And the plow can do a lot of damage. And he's like, the dog just darted out of the house and ran into the street and I couldn't stop in time. And he's like, I did everything I could. And so that stuck with me as I'm listening to this guy talking.
Mm-hmm.
They're always looking around because if anything gets in their path, they're like a freight train.
Yeah.
They can't stop on a dime. And they are so heavy that they're going to do a ton of damage.
Yeah.
So it stuck with me that if there was something there, he would have seen it.
It's interesting. It really is something to think about as far as eyewitness testimony. Again, it's eyewitness testimony, though, and eyewitness testimony is not always the best. But at the same point, it's eyewitness testimony from someone that really would be paying more attention than just the average person going down the road. At least you hope they would be.
Well, and that's the thing. These drivers, they're very well trained and they've seen what those trucks can do. They've hit a mailbox or two. They know it can just obliterate something.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very, very acutely aware.
Yeah.
If there's any movement around their path, they're paying attention. They have to. They can kill somebody.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, we know that John wasn't hit by a snowplow because those injuries would have been greatly exaggerated than what they were.
Yeah.
So we know that wasn't the case. But here's somebody who's out on the street who may have seen something right after it happened because he's paying attention. He's not just a driver going home from the bar, you know, at 2 a.m. He's somebody who has to watch the road. And he was on that street. He didn't see anything.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Dr. Marie Russell, a retired emergency room physician and forensic pathologist, testified that the wounds on John O'Keefe's right arm were likely caused by an animal attack, potentially a large dog. Dr. Russell's testimony aligns with the defense's theory that O'Keefe was attacked by Chloe, a German Shepherd mix living at the scene. I have a very strong interest in wounds in general, and I have a strong interest in dog bites in particular, Russell explained. She has extensive experience in the field, having seen over 500 patients with animal-related injuries and authored several peer-reviewed papers on law enforcement dog bites. Defense attorneys Alan Jackson and David Yannetti used Dr. Russell's testimony to challenge the prosecution's claim that Reed struck O'Keefe with her SUV, projecting an image of O'Keefe's wounded arm. Jackson asked Russell to describe the injuries. She pointed to a number of patterns in the wounds, including parallel lines that she identified as inflicted by either teeth or claw marks and puncture marks from the pointy teeth. Let's take a look at that.
Focus your attention on this for just a quick second and ask you, does this accurately reflect the wounds or injuries that you saw on John O'Keefe's right arm in coming to your opinions and conclusions?
Yes, it reflects the injuries that I saw in photographs.
All right. Now, based on your review of all of the data that you've talked about, all of the information that you were given and reviewed, what is your opinion or conclusion about how these injuries were sustained?
I believe that these injuries were sustained by an animal, possibly a large dog, because of the pattern of the injuries.
Could you describe for the jurors, please, on what you base that opinion?
Yes. Well, there's... May I use the...
Sure.
Okay, thank you. There's a number of patterns here. There, on the upper part of the arm, there's parallel lines, and those were inflicted by either teeth or claw marks. So there's a number of patterns that could be teeth or claw mark. And so this is one set right here. This is the one further down, closer to the elbow, is another set of parallel marks. Again, most likely from teeth marks. And the reason I say that is, in addition to the parallel marks up here, down here, there's also little punctate, incomplete puncture marks here. Little round marks right there that were inflicted by the actual point of the tooth.
Okay, that was my question. What relevance does that have to your determination that this was likely caused by an animal?
Yes, and I can explain in a moment the various kinds of wounds that animals can inflict. But going on with the picture first, so then down right at the elbow, there's another different series of marks that again have linear abrasions up where the pointer is, and then down below some punctate, superficial, round, small abrasions, again representing upper and lower teeth.
Interesting. Hmm. Very interesting. Thoughts on that expert witness?
Well, I think I'm a little biased because I feel like I can kind of relate to what she's saying, mm-hmm. because I've seen so many animal bites, including on my own arm from work, things like that. Like, you can tell, you know, I get what you're saying about dragging a you know, if an animal were trying to drag mm-hmm. a body, I get that. But I also have seen like a ferocious animal attack an arm, and it's mm-hmm. just, it looks like his arm. So I'm not an expert, but I've seen a few.
I mean,
few
does
people
this, does
being
this look
attacked.
Like, does this look like a ferocious attack, or does it look like an animal that went down and tried to get a grip on something as it was trying to pull it?
It could look like either to me, because with a ferocious attack, to me, it looks like that.
Can't they?
That's what I've seen.
But probably was too close to post-mortem. But I was wondering if they can tell if these bite marks were inflicted post-mortem or not. But I think he was like,
I would
still,
think they could.
But they still thought he had kind of some life in him when they arrived, I believe, didn't they? I mean, there was something there.
He still had a reasonable.
Yeah. So
he had a reasonable body temperature still. He wasn't like 30 degrees. Like 80, I think.
Yeah. I guess the timing would somewhat matter here. Although, if I don't know, maybe it actually wouldn't. It would matter in some ways if they could figure that out. But I'm guessing there's no way to do that.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, you know, if they happen post-mortem, would the blood have congealed differently? You know, would the blood flow have been different?
I think another
than somebody who was.
Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Just a thought came to my mind. You finish, please.
No, I forgot what I was going to say. Go ahead.
I wonder if looking at ring cams and all of that, if they'd find coyotes on any of them around that point in time, or if they looked for that at all.
I'm guessing they didn't. because it just feels like they really didn't pay a whole lot of attention to the crime scene.
Yeah.
They did, you know, they picked up stuff, they put it in, you know, cups, and they just kind of did what they had to do. If they suspected some sort of animal attack outside the home, why didn't they look at people's cameras?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, they didn't even go into the damn house,
you know?
So, yeah.
Exactly. And that was my point, that if there was something that happened that nobody knows what happened, maybe check out the house. Did something leak out into the yard?
Yeah.
Was he dumped because there was a fight inside? We will never know.
I'm
not saying that's what happened, but we aren't going to find out. They didn't do their due diligence in the house.
What if John was down? Oh, here's another one. What if John's down there? He's still, you know, kind of shaken, you know, from the, not even saying, now let's play not even being hit by Karen. Okay. And just kind of standing there for a second, kind of getting his, you know, stuff together before he goes into the house. Did they let the dog out to go to the bathroom or anything? And then the dog goes and, you know, thinks this is an intruder, attacks John, comes back in, you know, when it's say, come back, and dog comes back, went to the bathroom. They have no idea that the dog did anything, but maybe John slips in the course of that attack, hits the back of his head, goes forward again when he's trying to get up and get his, you know, stuff together, and then just ends up, you know, dying there in the cold.
Not that it's a very real possibility.
Or, I mean, not even their dog, just any dog, any animal. If he's drunk and he gets confronted by a dog, it doesn't even matter who's, I mean, it does matter whose dog it is, but any animal. People let their dogs out at night to go potty and things of that nature. And there's coyotes right around there too. Not that a coyote, though, would come up and attack someone right there. Now, the thing is, you could have John slipping and falling any number of ways. Doesn't need a dog to have it happen. Doesn't really need anything to have it happen. Needs a little bit of ice on the ground and cold and a little too many drinks. And one could fall on the ground that way. And then again, an animal could have then come up later and pulled. So I don't know. There's just so many. There are alternatives that exist beyond Karen Reed hitting him and him getting beat up at a party by his friends.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And the thing about Chloe being a German Shepherd, they had said that she had incidents where she had bitten people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know anything about German Shepherds, they used to be used as police dogs, not so much anymore. They're lovely dogs. I love them, but they can be extremely protective of their territory.
Yeah.
And they have some pretty nasty bites. They've got a very strong jaw. So if for some reason she felt that, let's just use your scenario and say she was let outside to go to the bathroom and she saw somebody she didn't quite recognize and approached him and he's drunk and get away from me, Chloe. But, and she goes after him because she's protective. She's defending her territory as any dog should.
Mm-hmm.
And things happen and he falls and hits his head.
And again,
who knows?
And I think it could easily say that the homeowners, nobody has any idea that this happened. And again, I don't even think it even needs to be that dog. It could be any dog that is.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, the homeowners, whoever's dog it is, are none the wiser because the dog returns back and there's nothing that happens, you know, and they have no idea that somebody, that this just happened down the outside because they shut the door and the dog came back. I don't know.
Well, and what's so interesting is we don't have any idea because nobody saw what happened.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have enough evidence to point our finger right at Karen Reed that she did anything. There's so many different scenarios this could have been.
Yeah.
That there is reasonable doubt here. I think when the jury gets this, we're going to have a verdict fairly soon.
On lesser charges. If it's a guilty.
Yeah.
On lesser charges. Although I don't know. I think there is too much reasonable doubt, honestly, at this point to say, yeah, she definitely did it. I think Proctor fucked it up and made things.
Yeah.
You know, really uncomfortable and weird and not correct. And so that put doubt on the investigation and the police work that was done. And it just all doesn't quite add up any way you look at it. I just don't think we're ever really going to know. And the thing is, there, if the theory that we're talking about here involving a dog and John O'Keefe, and that's it, there's no one alive that knows.
No. No, there isn't. And, you know, I guess somebody that works in law around me has said, I would rather have somebody guilty go free than somebody innocent go to jail.
Well, why would the dog...
And in this case...
Yeah, go ahead.
Why would the dog what?
I said, why would the dog even have to be in the house to be part of the attack? The dog attack doesn't have to have happened in the house.
I don't know.
Because that's always part of the theory. There's the fight, the dog attacked him in the house, and then he got out. Like, that doesn't even need to be part of it. With just the dog. Just the dog did it.
You know, were there any paw prints around the body? Did it happen further up by the house? Should there have been blood splatter by the house where it allegedly happened, if it happened outside?
Yeah.
I mean, there should have been other things to look for. Granted, there was some snow. It would have been harder to see, but, you know, you could have seen if there was some sort of struggle in the front yard.
Yeah.
I would think.
But how much closer did they
hard
look?
To say.
Yeah. I don't know. When asked if she believed the injuries were from an animal attack, Russell replied yes, based on a reasonable degree of medical certainty. During cross-examination, Assistant District Attorney Adam Lally questioned Russell's qualifications, noting she is not certified in forensic medicine or pathology and last worked in a coroner's office in 1995. Russell, okay, well, there. Good job, Lally, finally. Russell acknowledged these points, but stood by her assessment, stating she formed her opinion after reviewing hospital records, autopsy photos, grand jury testimony, and local dog bite reports. She's Nancy Drew. The defense argues that O'Keefe was beaten inside the house and bitten by Elbert's dog before being placed outside, countering the prosecution's timeline that O'Keefe was hit by Reed's SUV around 12:45 a.m., and defense pointed to Chloe, the dog living at 34 Fairview Road, as the likely culprit for O'Keefe's arm injuries. So, full week of testimony still ahead of us here. Defense aims to conclude their presentation quickly. Attorney Unetti suggested to Boston 25 investigative reporter Ted Daniel that they could wrap up by this week with only three witnesses left to call. Judge Cano has also indicated that jury deliberations could begin this week. This is going to be interesting. Interesting.
I don't think she's going to be convicted.
Do you think on lesser charges?
I think that would be harder to prove. I mean, there's a broken taillight, but she also hit a car.
Yeah, they should just insert like DUI charges here. Because she clearly
was fine with that.
She was clearly drunk driving. Can it be proved that she hit him? There are certainly some compelling pieces. The taillight, the microscopic taillight embedded in his clothing. That's a hard one for me to completely get over and say that had, I don't know how you really do that one. You know, I can see there being some chunks of taillight that were there or even planted. But again, what my feeling is on this with that being said, that there's the taillight in his clothing, is that I think Proctor or someone, I don't know, my speculation, they tried to tip the scales more than they needed to because the scale was already going in that direction. The scale was already going to reveal what it was going to reveal. And because they tried to tip it a little bit more than it should be tipped, it makes them look like, oh, holy shit, this whole thing is a conspiracy. It's kind of where I'm at. It's kind of in the middle of everything.
I guess we'll find out, won't we?
Yeah, we shall see.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.
Ever thought about Botox but worry you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At Caps, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, Caps has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at Caps guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, Caps has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at Caps guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When it comes to plastic surgery, expertise matters, and CAPS sets the standard. Our team includes 7 nationally ranked, board-certified plastic surgeons, from tummy tucks, breast augmentation, and liposuction to facelifts and beyond. Every surgical plan is tailored to your body, goals, and recovery timeline. CAPS is trusted for consistent, visible outcomes. Plus, when you book your surgical consultation, you'll receive a $100 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Expert care, exceptional results. Visit experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier-looking skin. CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first Laser Center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for 10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier-looking skin. CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first Laser Center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.